Maybe again.
Okay.
You may begin.
Good morning, everyone. I hereby call this meeting of the Michigan State University Board of Trustees to order. Our first order of business is approval of the proposed agenda. Could I have a motion?
So moved.
A second?
Support.
Support.
Thank you. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? The motion carries. The next order of business is approval of the minutes from September 11th, 2020. Could I have a motion to approve the September 11th, 2020 meeting minutes?
So moved.
Thank you. Second?
Support.
Thank you. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? The minutes are approved. Next, we will go to public participation. Secretary of the Board, Nakia Barr.
We will now proceed to the public participation portion of the meeting. Each individual who has signed up to speak will have 3 minutes to address the board. Your time will end when the buzzer sounds. Any responses from board members will come during the trustee comment portion of the meeting. We will now hear from Nancy Hollis, followed by Thomas Munley. Please activate the first speaker.
Good morning. Good morning. As an alum and former member of the MSU community, I know many of you on this board personally. What I will express are my opinions based upon my own experiences. I have spoken to several of you on this board about my concerns. I am here today to address my disappointment in the leadership of MSU. I believe the board and the leadership is lacking in transparency and accountability and integrity. This board refuses to release the over 6,000 emails to the public and the Attorney General's office needed to move forward and allow the survivors and community to heal. I ask each of you on this board what it is you are so fearful of in these emails. The legacy members of this board approved and endorsed the prior administration's vice president and your very own secretary to this board of trustees as first the interim president and then onto his current position as athletics director. I believe his role within the administration should be disclosed by the release of the over 6,000 emails you are withholding. This board strongly endorsed and vocally supported this hire with apparent disregard for transparency and accountability. Ms. Byram, I call on you to answer for this hire and share with the public what you told me in our phone conversation last year. Five of you on the board announced you would read these emails. Now there is silence from you. What was the purpose of reading these emails? Ms. Kanaki, you are an ethics specialist and you announced last year you would read these emails. You must have something to say. Mr. Masalam, you too said you would reconvene the board and discuss the next steps after reading these emails. Yet there is just silence from you as another year has passed. Take action and call for a vote. Your empty words mean nothing, Mr. Masalam. And given your actions while serving on this board, I find it extremely disappointing you were endorsed by your party to be on the ballot for the upcoming election. Nancy Schlichting, former board member, stepped down last year from her position because of the inability to work with this board. Ms. Schlichting has served on over 80 boards and has a stellar reputation of respect and integrity. Ms. Byram, this is a direct reflection of the failure of your leadership. You are not a privately held corporation owned and controlled by the 8 members of this board. You are accountable, even though you refuse to act accountable to anyone. You are representing the taxpayers of the state, and this is a public institution, and you are here at the will of the people. I find this board's actions shameful. While I do have more to share, I urge this board to publicly answer the questions and concerns posed today. I urge you to act now with the transparency and integrity this community deserves. You have been given much too much time.
Thank you. Next, we will hear from Thomas Munley, followed by Michael Balo. Please activate the next speaker. Mr. Munley, I believe you're on mute.
I apologize.
Thank you.
Thank you. My name is Thomas Munley, and I'm here on behalf of the Michigan State Swimming and Diving Program. I would like to start by sharing the fact that I swam for Michigan State from 1992 to 1996. And during that time, I had the opportunity to grow and develop as an individual, but more importantly, I had the opportunity to contribute to the university. I'm here to ask for the opportunity to save that program. This program in its 99th year has a tradition of success that few other varsity sports can match. Not only in terms of the 409 All-Americans, 37 national champions, 11 Olympians, and 40 academic All-Americans, but also in terms of the alumni who have gone on to become the very best representatives of Michigan State as doctors, lawyers, executives, literal rocket scientists, packaging engineers, teachers, coaches, and even Rhodes Scholar finalists. The living embodiment of advancing knowledge and transforming lives. Because of this tradition, I am here representing nearly 2,000 alumni, parents, and swimmers with one request. Let us do the work to save the program for the current members of our team and for future generations of swimmers. And as Spartans will, we will get it done. We are aware that there is a financial challenge with the pandemic, which is why I reached out to AD Beekman on August 22nd after Iowa announced the cutting of their swimming and diving program and asked him that if swimming and diving was to be cut at Michigan State to give us the opportunity to close whatever gap there was needed. And after doing the financial analysis, which we submitted, you can tell that there's actually a generated $1.3 million of revenue combined by these programs for the university overall. The $2 million deficit claimed at the press release fails to give credit for the programs or the tuition that's raised by the other members of the program that are non-scholarship athletes. Overall, these programs make money for MSU. This program is an asset to the university, not a liability. The pool in IM West is the same 25 yards long as every pool in which an NCAA or Big Ten championships is held in. Michigan State, like all land-grant schools, was founded to create opportunity for the masses. We ask for the opportunity to help sustain the program through this pandemic. We will bear the burden and take on the challenge because Spartans will. I am here today to ask for a joint path forward. However, as our group seems to have as many lawyers as we do breaststrokers, we know that the proposed action of cutting these programs will result in MSU's further non-compliance under Title IX. And if Title IX litigation is the only way to save the programs, these Spartans will. However, we would rather work with you. Our efforts will cost the university nothing, yet I can communicate that the decision to terminate these programs will result in at least $1 million of current endowments and future pledges to the university being restricted or revoked entirely, resulting in additional financial loss for the university. We ask simply that you direct President Stanley to reverse this decision until we can exhaust all options and to work with our group as quickly as possible to address any other concerns. Thank you and go green.
Thank you. Next, we will hear from Michael Balo, followed by Emma Inch. Please activate the next speaker. Mr. Balo is not present.
I'm present. I'm sorry.
You're present.
Yep. Thank you. Sorry about that. The box didn't pop up until a minute there to say unmute, so I'm here.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for the opportunity to speak today. I am a proud parent of a Spartan swimmer. Much has been said recently about the inadequacy of our facilities and how it prevents elite student athletes from coming. Consider our example. Our daughter knew full well what the pool facilities were before enrolling. And still she chose MSU over other quality programs such as Boston College, where she would have competed in a shiny new aquatics facility. And her first year was wonderful in the classroom and in the pool, where she was able to improve greatly at IM West. She became part of a program that has won multiple academic and leadership awards and broken records in the pool. And depending on the year, has had the highest or among the highest team GPA in Division I. We as parents are bitterly disappointed in the decision to cut the swim and dive program. We can't believe that this was the result of a rigorous, transparent process that included all of the stakeholders. There are some misleading facts out there. The IM West pool is a regulation NCAA pool at 25 yards. That is the distance that every meet is run at. I sent you the letter that we received as parents, signed by both the president and athletic director. In there, it says twice that our pool is non-regulation. This is a gross misstatement. We wonder if this faulty information was a factor in this decision. As far as the 50-meter pool, it is certainly nice to have, but many, many Division I programs do not have ready access to them. MSU is certainly not unique in that regard. No one, parents, swimmers, or divers ever complained about the experience, because the experience everyone valued is what our own daughter was receiving, allowing her to reach her potential as a student and an athlete and the lifelong relationships that she is building. We realize that if MSU cuts the swim and dive program, it will save a few hundred thousand in coaching and other overhead costs, which make up less than 1% out of a $140 million budget. But did anyone consider that 39 out of the 63 slots on the team, or 62% are funded by the students themselves for full tuition, room, and board? Our swim and dive program is an example of all that is right about athletics. Celebrate it. Don't kill it. We are asking the board to stop this process, or at least slow it down and say that it's not. Pass a resolution today to keep this program, whose benefits far exceed its costs. Several months ago, ASMSU developed a proposal that would allow for student records collected from all undergraduates in order to improve the rec facilities for all on campus and allow us to keep the program. We can solve it at once. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Next, we will hear from Emma Inch, followed by Madeline Riley. Please activate the next speaker.
Can you guys hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. You may begin.
My name is Emma Inch. I am a sophomore swimmer and diver. I think you guys probably know that at this point. I'd like to start by thanking you guys. I know how valuable your time is. And we'll dive right into it. No pun intended. It was time for a joke. Obviously, our issue here begins with this kind of lack of transparency. I think that it's clear to you guys that we don't like that it was mentioned the pool is not a regulation. I think that is frustrating, probably, that you have heard that 10 times at this point, but I think it's important that, you know, our program's being cut. I think we deserve to understand and be presented with correct facts. I think we're also kind of trying to understand what process has gone into cutting our program. What are the exact guidelines? And so I think at a minimum, I think it's fair, you know, to hear us ask that, like, we'd like to understand where this criteria comes from and at what point the budget said, okay, we need to cut swimming and diving. So second, as student athletes, we're always looking to problem solve. So I know you guys are very solution oriented, as, you know, respectively so. So we're coming to the table with this ASMSU solution. This is what alumni Scott Piper, he's at Stanford now, amazing man. He presented this ASMSU bill last year and worked with the president to get it written, drafted up, and it's a student recreation fee that will go towards everyone's tuition, of course. And, you know, I think this will really benefit, not just us, we'll just, you know, conveniently benefit from this, but it's really for the student body. I think you guys have been in IM West. You see how it looks. I mean, it's a ghost town. Well, we're very appreciative to have this facility, and we're willing to be completely donor funded until the construction of this new pool, because we've seen at other Big Ten programs like Wisconsin, this stuff takes. It's important that we want to reinvest in not only our own program, but it's only fair that we want to reinvest in the entire student body as a whole. And I know so many faculty utilize that IM West. I've had professors tell me, hey, like, I'm a huge swim team supporter. I'm at IM West every day. I think it's fair that we start reinvesting in everybody for more of a long-term solution. You know, as Spartans solve, especially. So I think it's important that understand as well as athletic asset to this university. I think you guys should seek to give us a chance. We're providing you a solution here. Let's work with us to give us an opportunity. That's all we're asking for. I think this ASMSU bill is a wonderful way to do that. It kind of kills like five birds with one stone. That's a fun metaphor there. But I'd like to thank you guys for my time. I appreciate it. You guys were a good kid. It extends far beyond that. So go green. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, we will hear from Madeline Riley, followed by Ryan Noyes. Please activate the next speaker.
Hello, can you guys hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Perfect. I'll begin now. Hello, I'm Madeline Riley, a junior on the Michigan State swimming and diving team, as well as a member of the Student Athlete Advisory Committee. Although I am completely and utterly devastated with the decision made on October 22nd, I am thankful for the opportunity to discuss with you what this team truly means to me and so many others. Last Thursday, we were completely blindsided by the university and are seeking clarity. I'm also disheartened by the information released to the public regarding the regulation of the pool we use. Our indoor 25-yard pool meets NC2A regulation with no issue. A little bit about myself. I'm from Greenville, South Carolina, and have lived in the state of South Carolina my entire life. Leaving your family, friends, comfort of your home state, and nosediving into the unknown is scary, but this team immediately made me feel like family. I would have never had the opportunity to attend Michigan State if it was not for the swimming and diving team. You are not cutting just a swimming and diving program. You are cutting much more than that. You are cutting a group of strangers from all over the world that have come together and quickly become a family. You are cutting a network of alumni who would be willing to do anything for this program. Although you can never take away what this program means, you are cutting years of history. You are cutting the dreams of young swimmers and divers all over the world, including the 10,500 athletes that competed in high school swimming and diving in the state of Michigan just last year. I am coming before you today to ask that you consider partnering with our current team members and our extensive network of alumni before discontinuing a program that is reaching almost 100 years of representing the university and uses minimal athletic budget each year, but in return provides so much from an academic standpoint. The athletic department stresses the importance of fostering athletes who do not only succeed in their respective sports, but also in the classroom. So it does not make much sense as to why one of the most studious teams on campus is getting cut. Last spring semester, former team member Scott Piper introduced a bill that incorporates a small fee into each student's tuition to cover a membership to the IM facilities that will fundraise money for new renovations. This is the standard funding model within the Big Ten. These renovations do not just benefit my team, but the entire student body. A new recreational facility presents an opportunity for students to use in order to supplement their mental and physical health. In fact, the swim team has already gained the support of Abita, ASMSU president. I understand that now more than ever, the university has been tested with the current economic situation of our country, but Spartans do not take the easy way out, and discontinuing the swimming and diving team is taking the easy way out. On behalf of my entire team, we are ready to collaborate and find a solution to something that is so meaningful to all of us. Thank you for your time today, and as always, go green.
Thank you. Ryan Noyes is not present. So next we will hear from Theodore Golden. Please activate the next speaker.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. You may begin.
Trustees, President Stanley Spartans, this talk is posted in more detail on my website, tagolden.com. On May 15, 2020, I addressed you and stated that the Office of Civil Rights required MSU to submit a report to OCR by August 1st, 2020, stating the actions of MSU employees in the Nassar scandal. The report was posted on the MSU website dated September 1, 2020. I assume the report is authentic, although it was unsigned. Unfortunately, the report does not bring closure to the Nassar scandal because of misrepresentations. I call your attention to page 38 of the report, which states that MSU attorney Christine Moore did nothing wrong investigating a 2014 complaint against Nassar. The true facts are that Christine Moore did not follow Title IX or Clery Act statutes. Special investigator William Forsythe cited Christine Moore's improper investigation in his report dated December 21, 2018. An opinion letter published in the State News, April 26, 2019, by myself, presented numerous reasons why Christine Moore should be fired. The Michigan Attorney Grievance Commission cited these facts and other charges against Christine Moore and concluded she violated Michigan rules of professional conduct. The MSU report to OCR exonerates Christine Moore just like Christine Moore exonerated Nassar in 2014. I informed the trustees and top administrators why Moore should be fired. Dr. Stanley, who prepared the report and who signed off on the report? Do you approve of the report? Trustees, especially Trustee Musilam, since you are running for re-election, do you approve of the report? At the last trustees meeting on September 11, 2020, you erased Stephen Nesbitt from the campus. Why do you refuse to fire MSU Christine Moore, whose worse documented unethical behavior enabled Nassar to sexually assault numerous patients for two additional years? You should be ashamed of yourselves for what you've done. Thank you.
Thank you. That concludes public participation.
Thank you. We'll now go to my report, and I want to begin by thanking all of our speakers this morning. Ending programs, whether academic, administrative, or athletic, is one of the most difficult decisions we make, only done with a great deal of thought and concern. And I know that was the case here for swimming and diving, although that does nothing to soften the impact on MSU swimmers, as we've heard. This decision was prompted by our athletic department's past and present financial circumstances, which has resulted in our inability to provide the facilities and additional resources to give our swimmers a chance to be truly competitive in their sport. Just as an example, with the closure of the outdoor pool, MSU became the only Big Ten school without a 50-meter pool to train for Olympic events, something which significantly hampers recruitment. These 67 outstanding student athletes will have the opportunity to swim this season, and after the season is over, we will continue to support the swimmers and their coaches, including honoring their scholarships and contracts. And we will provide every assistance to anyone wishing to transfer and swim elsewhere. I now want to update you on two issues related to diversity, equity, and inclusion, DEI. Earlier this year, we announced our commitment to introduce a DEI educational requirement for everyone at Michigan State University, faculty, students, and staff. DEI Foundations, as we're calling this course at Michigan State University, introduces core DEI principles to help develop a common understanding of how we can all work together for a safe, welcoming, respected, and inclusive university. I want to thank all of the Board of Trustee members who are setting a great example by agreeing that they too will take this course. The Office for Inclusion and Intercultural Initiatives, I3, is now starting to offer the course to the campus, so please pay attention to your email box as we roll this out. Earlier this month, I announced Dr. Jabbar R. Bennett as Michigan State University's inaugural Vice President and Chief Diversity Officer after a national search. Pending board approval, he will start December 1st. The search committee, which included faculty, staff, and students, worked incredibly hard to make every step of the search process as open and inclusive as possible. And I want to give special thanks to Dean Chris Long of the College of Arts and Letters and Dr. Melissa Wu, the Executive Vice President for Administration and Chief Information Officer at MSU, for leading the search. I'm certain Dr. Bennett will help us transform diversity, equity, and inclusion across our university. We have been learning much about how to educate and live safely during the pandemic, both on and off campus during this fall semester. Our protocols for safe on-campus housing and classes, like the protocols that drove our full return to on-campus research, have proved effective to date, and we believe we can return more students to campus in the spring semester. In the fall, we held only about 40 in-person classes. This spring, we hope to offer about 400. We are prioritizing classes like laboratories or studio courses that need to be taught in person and are often required courses for graduation. One thing that will not change during spring, the very large lecture classes that would not allow for social distancing will still be offered only online or as hybrids. As part of this expansion, approximately 2,500 more residence hall spaces will be available to students who want or need to live on campus. These will remain single rooms only for the spring. We will require participation in the COVID-19 early detection program for students living on campus and undergraduates coming to campus for worker classes during the spring semester. Undergraduate classes will start as scheduled January 11th, and we will join most other universities around the nation in not having a spring break to mitigate the recognized risk associated with large numbers of students leaving and returning to campus in the middle of the semester. However, we are featuring 4 new days off during the semester to provide a very much needed break for students by including 2 consecutive days without classes in the first week of March and 2 consecutive days without classes before final. Undergraduate instruction will end April 23rd. Finals will be held 1 week earlier than normal and will be followed by a week-long period for graduation ceremonies, providing for a shortened semester for students. Graduate and professional students may have different schedules, and I encourage them to check with their colleges. We experienced a milestone for the Facility for Rare Isotope Beams last month when United States Secretary of Energy Dan Brouillette visited to announce the designation of EFRIB as a Department of Energy Office of Science user facility. The EFRIB project started in 2009, completion is set for early 22, and it remains ahead of schedule and ahead of budget. More than 1,400 scientific users are expected to conduct research at EFRIB at Michigan State University. Michigan State University has the nation's top-ranked graduate nuclear physics program, and EFRIB will help keep the university at the forefront of nuclear science research and education. It will also help us attract some of the most talented scientists and students to Michigan State University. My congratulations to Thomas Glassmacher and his team for their outstanding efforts. U.S. News and World Report recently ranked Michigan State University among the top 100 institutions worldwide and top 50 public universities in the United States. 27 of our programs were also ranked globally, up from 21 in the previous ranking. Plant and animal science improved 1 spot to number 7. Economic and business improved 7 spots to number 29. And earlier this year, several MSU programs were ranked by U.S. News among the best in the nation. Our undergraduate supply chain management was number 1 among public and private universities for the 10th consecutive time. And MSU's graduate supply chain program has been the nation's top program since surpassing MIT 4 years ago. And another form of honorifics, I want to congratulate MSU Debates for its top finish at Wayne State Online Invitational Tournament last weekend. MSU Debate not only has had success in debating, but has been developing online capabilities since before the pandemic to expand access and cut travel costs for debate teams. They're now partnering with the National Association of Urban Debate Leagues to expand access to competitive debate to traditionally underserved communities. Since we last met, MSU has lost some dear friends. Many knew Father Jake Folio, an alumnus, former faculty member, and mentor to MSU student athletes and coaches, who passed away October 5th at age 91. The first chair in spirituality at U.S. Public University was created by the College of Arts and Letters in his name. More recently, we learned of the passing of Peter Secchia, an MSU Business School graduate, philanthropist, Grand Rapids community leader, and stalwart supporter of Michigan State University. He helped drive the expansion of the College of Human Medicine in Grand Rapids. The College Secchia Center building, which includes classrooms and a conference center, observes its 10th anniversary on the Medical Mile in Grand Rapids this year. Other named MSU facilities include the Secchia Stadium for Michigan State University softball and Piazza Secchia, the entrance plaza southeast of the Breslin Center. He also endowed a staff position in athletics, the Secchia Family Defensive Coordinator. Peter and Father Foglia will be missed. We're looking forward to the resumption of our football rivalry with the University of Michigan tomorrow. And of course, it's also Halloween, so we're making special efforts to urge people to avoid large gatherings. Last weekend, there were 8 large parties in East Lansing that each resulted in a $500 penalty for disobeying the County Health Department's emergency order limiting gathering size. There have been 38 such violations issued to Michigan State University students to date. All those violations have been entered into the Dean of Students disciplinary system, which now has 52 cases pending, and a number of students have been suspended. The health department this week tightened its order from prohibiting outdoor gatherings of over 25 people in parts of East Lansing down to 10 people. And we expect that Michigan State Universities will comply with these important, very important public health protocols. I want to thank all of those students, faculty, and staff at Michigan State who are following the safety guidance by wearing masks, limiting gatherings, and following other precautions. And I encourage everyone in Michigan State University, East Lansing, and in Ann Arbor this weekend to follow those same precautions. I want to conclude with 2 things that I want to encourage you to do. One is I'm encouraging everyone this season to protect themselves, their families, and their communities by getting a flu shot. As COVID cases rise, suppressing influenza is going to be especially critical to preserve vital health resources and avoid the possibility of being infected with 2 potentially lethal diseases at one time. And finally, Tuesday is Election Day. I'm encouraging all Spartans to vote. It is both a right and a responsibility. Thank you, and that concludes my report. We will now move to our research presentation. Interim Vice President for Research and Innovation, Doug Gage.
Good morning. We are justifiably proud of the research you hear presented at the board meetings, but there are some efforts which exemplify the value of research to the community. Today, you will hear Dr. Deborah Verholden present an overview of our community-based public health research in Flint. You are well aware of the pivotal role Dr. Mona Hanna-Attisha played in the early days of the Flint water crisis. You may also know that Dr. Jennifer Johnson, our faculty senate president, has a major community-based research program in Flint. As impressive as these individual faculty contributions are, I think you will gain an even greater appreciation of our public health efforts when you look at the collective efforts of our faculty in Flint. Now let me introduce our speaker, Dr. Deborah Verholden, Associate Dean for Public Health Integration, C.S. Mott Endowed Professor of Public Health and Director of the Division of Public Health at Michigan State University. She is also the director of the Flint Center for Health Equity Solutions, funded by the National Institutes on Minority Health and Health Disparities. She is an epidemiologist by training. Her community-based, action-oriented research has been well-received by community stakeholders and driven multiple policy interventions to address some of the nation's greatest public health challenges, especially among racial and ethnic minorities in racially and economically segregated communities. Dr. Verholden attended Johns Hopkins University Krieger School of Arts and Sciences, received a BA in Natural Science and Public Health, and earned her PhD from the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health. She is the developer of a novel observational environmental assessment tool, the Neighborhood Inventory for Environmental Typology. This tool provides a unique systematic means to measure features of the built and social environment linked to violence, alcohol, tobacco, and other drug exposure. In 2005, Dr. Verholden received the Presidential Early Career Award for Scientists and Engineers for her accomplishments in substance abuse research. Deborah joined MSU in 2016 and returned to Flint, where she grew up. Along with her research, she is active in the community and is currently serves on the board of the Ruth Mott Foundation. Please welcome Dr. Deborah Verholden.
Hi, good morning to the board, and thank you, Doug. I'm really excited to share with you all just a little bit about what we do in Flint. I believe it's truly a magical place, so thank you for giving me the opportunity to bring you a little bit into our world. There were some big goals that the MSU College of Human Medicine had when they decided to expand into Flint. The first of those goals was to establish Flint as an education center for advanced degrees. We have this fabulous community med school model. We have 7 campuses all across the state, and they wanted to increase that campus in Flint. We also have a master's of public health program. And I think our goal is also to add other graduate and advanced degrees to Flint. We also wanted to establish Flint's national reputation in community-engaged public health research, practice, and translation. And then we also wanted to deeply anchor Flint in the College of Human Medicine vision and our community campus model. And that is one of service to the communities that we raise our hands to serve. We've had tremendous clinical campus expansion that grew out of anchoring this campus in Flint around this community engaged research program. If you look back in 2010, we had about 60 medical students, third and fourth year, doing their clinical rotations in Flint. Now in 2020, we have more than 120 medical students. So our beautiful space is vibrant and alive, not just with researchers, but with budding physicians, many of whom are also engaged in public health research. We moved the Leadership in Medicine for the Underserved program to Flint in July of 2011. And then when we showed up in the Division of Public Health, that program became even more vibrant. And one of our fabulous faculty, Dr. Maika Smart, is now the director of that program. And it's one of the most vibrant in the College of Human Medicine. And those students are some of the most engaged. We also have been able to develop early assurance programs for admission to the College of Human Medicine for well-prepared juniors, really strengthening that pipeline, working with our local partners at Kettering University, the University of Michigan Flint, and now through the tremendous efforts of Dr. Lipscomb and Dr. Liz, we've been able to add Mott Community College and build that pipeline. We are all now present to Operation Warp Speed, the speed at which we're developing a COVID-19 vaccine. And I think this is Operation Warp Speed, the timeline with which we were able to execute this beautiful vision. It's warp speed in that there was a lot of groundwork that was done by many tremendous, amazing leaders at MSU. Our interim dean, Dr. Aaron Sousa, our now director of MSU Extension, Dr. Jeff Dwyer, many amazing MSU leaders did the groundwork. And the initial proposal started in January of 2011. There was lots of community work that happened before that. And our first faculty, the wonderful, bold, courageous Dr. Jennifer Johnson, came as our first faculty in January of 2015, a team of one. And we are now a team of 22 faculty and academic staff and 15 professors. The research program goals that were created were to first attract and retain a core of NIH-funded and acclaimed researchers. We wanted people that had a track record of accomplishment. And we also wanted people with tremendous potential, so very promising early stage investigators who would focus on the community driven and community identified areas of research. We wanted community voice at the forefront of our work. A Flint Public Health Research Advisory Committee was established. It had 29 community and university members, and it was more heavily weighted toward community. And then we wanted, and we still maintain, a very participatory process and feedback model. And CHM faculty and staff attended and held more than 100 community meetings and collected data from more than 1,000 Flint area residents. So this is truly a community informed and community driven build that we have. And the research imperative was clear. They wanted us to focus on solutions. They didn't want us to simply come in and chronicle and describe the problems and describe what is. They wanted us to help and work collaboratively with them to build and mount solutions. We brought a consultant in June of 2012. They met with that committee, and we decided the first step would be to hire 6 to 7 researchers that would focus on these priority areas that were identified by this collaborative and community-driven committee. So what came out of that, and what is now the major foci of our research? The first is community-based participatory research. Again, they wanted us to focus on solutions. So while we have great epidemiologists who've been at the forefront of much of the work that we are seeing around the nation to turn the tides on COVID, we focus on behavioral health interventions for vulnerable populations specifically. We focus on health equity, the upstream determinants of health, as well as the social and political determinants of health. And then we also focus on policy and translational research and practice. What has been our impact to date? It's been quite amazing. To date, we've generated, when our first faculty started, and I say 6 years, but it's actually been less than 6 years since the actual doors of our community engaged division of public health open. And in less than 6 years, we've generated more than $72 million in external funding. And about 85% of that comes from the National Institute of Health and the Department of Health and Human Services. We have 15 amazing public health researchers. We have an additional 7 who are also engaged in research in our wonderful Masters of Public Health program. We've created more than 130 full-time jobs in MSU that is the, and the beneficiaries of that are mostly Flint area residents and local organizations. We collaborate with more than 30 organizations on our externally funded projects. And we have 5 Charles Stewart Mott Endowed professors, including one, Dr. Woody Neighbors, who was the 3rd faculty hired in our program, who retired in 2020. I want to give you just a few highlights of our program so you can get a glimmer of what it looks like on the inside. This is a model that we created. This is published in Progress Community Health Partnerships. This is led by Dr. Kent Key and myself and many others within our division. And I really think it speaks to the heart of who we are as a unit. And we tried to develop for the world a model that would explain, we call it no wrong door. There's no real wrong door to get in on the continuum of community engagement. But what we've learned and what we want to share with others, we say it's about Flint, but it's not just about Flint. Our work is creating a national model that I think others can glean from, and I think other communities can benefit from. So we focus on contextual factors that we know are important for authentically and actively engaging with communities. Things like history and trust and relationship building, respect for all of the contributions that all of the partners make at the table, as well as transparency. We also think that what undergirds our work are these very important equity indicators, things like power and control. The typical model is researchers recruit community to participate in work, but we don't work that way. We share in the power and control and the decision-making and the resource sharing, and we ensure that there's mutual benefit from our research, both with our partners and the communities that we say we serve. And a real important thing is ownership. We believe that we are not the owners or the keeper of the products or the outcomes of that work, but rather the community is. And so we operate all along this continuum. You'll very rarely find us all the way on the left with no community involvement. We tend to be more on the right, but we've developed real models and rubrics for how other academic units can authentically engage with community. Another thing that we do is we fill policy and translational gaps. We call this the 17-year odyssey. This comes out of the world of dissemination and implementation science. On average, it takes about 17 years for only 14% of research to ever be translated into practice. So you might ask, what happens to the other 86%? Some of it dies in study section, some of it dies in a journal and never makes it anywhere. So our work is about trying to plug up that leaky pipeline and help with the translation. What good is the work if we can't get it translated out into the world? And not only do we believe that research should be translated into practice, but we also know and value tremendously the input of the people who are on the ground floor with their sleeves rolled up doing the work. So we also work to translate what is happening in practice into research so we can develop the evidence base to scale up and scale out things that we know work. One good example of that, a shining program that we have, is the Pediatric Public Health Initiative that's led by Dr. Mona Hanna Atisha and others. We've got a world-class epidemiologist, Nicole Jones, a leading nutritionist, Dr. Amy Sachs-Kustak. The work that they did in Flint with their fruit and vegetable prescription program, literally using food as medicine, caught the attention of our national leaders and was actually included in the US Farm Bill. And now other communities across the country will be the beneficiaries through federal dollars set aside specifically for food as medicine. That model was developed, ratified, and put in evidence-based practice in the city of Flint. We also have engagement at all levels. This is a beautiful graphic drawn by one of the youth in what's called the Flint Youth Justice League. And this is a group of young people who are at the forefront of helping to inform and support the work of the Pediatric Public Health Initiative. one of our core values is we don't do things to people, we don't do things for people, and we don't do things on their behalf without their permission. We do it with them. And since that initiative is focused on youth, youth are also in the driver's seat and they're super creative. I think this is such a great graphic driven and created by one of the youth in the Flint Youth Justice League. We also create pipeline. We're not just training ourselves and working in partnership with community. This is a program that we have called the Health Equity Summer Scholars Program. These are our 2017 through 2019 cohorts. We're trying to build that pipeline of young investigators piquing their interest in medicine and public health and where the two come together, and also giving them the tools that they need to see the world through the lens of equity and social justice. We also do big time support for medical students. This is our R2-D2 training program. No, it's not related to Star Wars. This was founded by Dr. Woody Neighbors. It's the Research to Reduce Disease Disparities program. And this is our current 2020 cohort. When Dr. Neighbors retired, that program is now led by Dr. Maitha Smart and Dr. Todd Lucas and is housed in the Division of Public Health. Again, our goal is to not just have the innovation of our work and our research and our models for how to effectively engage community, live with us, but also to strengthen that pipeline for future scientists. This is a graphic from the Flint Women's Study that's led by Dr. Jennifer Johnson. Not only do we do research that's community engaged, we also allow community the opportunity to help not just inform us, but to inform others about what their real needs are. And Dr. Johnson, who's a clinical psychologist, asked women in Flint, if you could envision anything for this county that would transform the lives of women, what would that be? And then she boldly stands with those partners and has been building a program of research to help to meet those needs. In summary, the college and the university and the community are tremendously proud of the progress that we've made to date on what seemed like insurmountable objectives that would take us a decade or more to achieve. And look at what we've accomplished in just under 6 years. The work has been all consuming, but more than anything, it's been personally rewarding for those who've been involved in the college and across the university. And it's possible because of the partnerships, the public-private partnerships, as well as the partnership with community. So I want to give a special thanks to our hospital partners who support our physical space and help create that pipeline and keep the wind beneath the wings of our program, including Hurley, Genesis, McLaren, the funding from the Charles Stewart Mott Foundation, and their staff, an amazing, amazing group of community and community partners, and the many extraordinary leaders at MSU that made the Division of Public Health and our work possible. I couldn't leave without giving you a chance to see who's behind the curtain. These are the amazing faculty and academic staff in the MSU CHM Division of Public Health. Their faces are bright, their goals are big, their hearts are pure, and their will is unshakable. I encourage you all, I don't understand how I could possibly tell you about all of the amazing things that we do in 7 or 8 minutes. So I do encourage you all to check us out. Our website is publichealth.msu.edu. Get some popcorn, you know, a nice cup of tea. You could spend an afternoon just being moved and encouraged and inspired by the tremendous enthusiasm and work that these folks are doing. We also have a pretty strong social media presence on Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn. And I also encourage you to look up our faculty. We are also very active in social media. Many of them are on Twitter and Instagram. We're just actively engaged in our community trying to make it better. I'm gonna go back to this slide because it's the one that I love and stop here and give you a chance to ask questions. And thank you so much for the opportunity to share.
Thank you, Dr. Verhaalden. That was remarkable. Questions from the board. So I'll just make a comment while we're waiting. That's extraordinary. And it really, I think, is a fantastic way to think about our mission and to think about the land grant mission taken to a new level, one that really is based on, as you said, a partnership with the community, service to the community, which is part of the land grant tradition, of course, and our extension tradition, but doing it now in public health and really expanding it to also take advantage of agriculture, nutrition, and so on is amazing. So this kind of encapsulates to me in some way some of the great things we can do at Michigan State University as we think about our strategic plan going forward. I think this shines as a bright beacon to help guide us in the kind of things we're capable of. So thank you. And the incredible people on this slide and everybody who's been engaged in this project, because it's a great point of pride for the university. It's really a way in which we're having an impact on people's lives every day. So well done. Well done.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Other comments at all? Okay. Well, thank you so much.
I just wanted to say.
Yes.
I just want to say I agree with what all of the things that President Stanley said, but I also wanted to make a comment that when it is safe again, I would love to come visit and spend some time with all of you and see all of the work that you're doing in person. So when it's safe, count me in.
And we invite and welcome that. And I didn't say this, but we have really beautiful space located right in the heart of downtown Flint. It is a very vibrant, thriving building. You will really enjoy it. I always tell people, come on days that end with T, because then the Flint Farmers Market, which we share a parking lot with, as well as the Hurley Children's Center, is open on Tuesdays and Thursdays and Saturdays. People come to Flint and they find it hard to leave because you get the red carpet welcome, and you, like us, will likely fall in love with our community. So thank you. You are all welcome. Come.
I love it. Thank you.
I wanted to make a comment as well. I would echo what both of my colleagues said. I think this is incredible work that you all are doing, and I totally agree with you when you indicate that you have to do the work by working with those that live in those communities. And so our mission, seeing it come to life in Flint, in the way that you all are working, is incredible. I would also kind of piggyback on my colleague, Trustee Tebay, and saying I would love to come and see this for myself. I was surprised by this presentation. I had no idea that we were doing this work. And so this is just, to me, just fabulous. And I want to commend every beautiful face that I see on the screen for all that you all are doing. We thank you as a university, and I look forward to hopefully meeting them in person one day soon. Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
So thank you so much, Trustee Tebay and Trustee Scott. We're now going to move on to personnel actions and information reports. I'm Provost Woodruff.
Trustees, I present for your approval the items in the October 2020 list of personnel actions. This includes the appointment of two new tenured faculty members, Dr. Susan Burkholz, PhD, RN, ANP, FAANP, FAAN, is recommended to the rank of professor with tenure. Dr. Burkholz will become the College of Nursing's Associate Dean for Research. And Dr. Thomas V. O'Halloran, PhD, MSU Foundation Professor, Departments of Microbiology and Molecular Genetics, College of Human Medicine, and Department of Chemistry, College of Natural Science. The action also includes the appointment of Dr. Jabbar Bennett as Vice President and inaugural Chief Diversity Officer for Michigan State University. Also included in your materials is our additional reports for academic personnel actions.
Is there a motion to approve the personnel actions?
So moved.
So moved.
Thank you. Second?
I'll second.
Thank you. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? The personnel actions are approved. We will now move to committee reports and other items requiring board approval. Trustee Melanie Foster will now present the Committee on Budget and Finance report.
Thank you, President Stanley. As chairperson of the Trustee Committee on Budget and Finance, I move that the board hereby adopts the State of Michigan Fiscal Year 2022 5-year capital outlay plan included in Attachment A.
We have a motion on the floor. Is there a second?
Support.
Thank you. Is there any discussion?
I might add that given the challenges we are facing due to the pandemic, the state is not accepting major project requests for fiscal year 22. Therefore, this year's capital outlay process only includes the collection of 5-year plans.
Understood. Thank you for that clarification. Any other comments or discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of this resolution signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? The motion carries.
As chairperson of the Trustee Committee on Budget and Finance, I move that the board hereby authorizes the administration to proceed with a project entitled Veterinary Medical Center HVAC Replacement and Programmatic Renovations with a total budget of $10,600,000.
There's a motion on the floor. Could I have a second?
Support.
Thank you. Any discussion?
Now, I'll just add that these, it's part of our capital renewal and programmatic improvements related to the accreditation requirements for the college.
Thank you. Any additional comments or discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Thank you. Aye. Opposed? Abstentions? The motion carries.
This concludes my report.
Thank you. We will now move to the Committee on Academic Affairs, Trustee Byron.
Thank you. The Committee on Academic Affairs received an IT security update from Melissa Wu, Executive Vice President of Administration and Chief Information Officer, and Chief Information Security Officer, Tom Su. The committee also received an update regarding by Provost Woodruff and Executive Vice President Beauchamp on the reopening of campus. This concludes my report.
Thank you. We will now move to Trustee Dan Kelly will now present the Committee on Audit, Risk, and Compliance report.
Thank you, President Stanley. As chairperson of the Audit, Risk, and Compliance Committee, I move that the board hereby accept the audit financial statements for the year ended June 30th, 2020.
So we have a motion on the floor. Is there a second?
Support.
Second.
Thank you. Any discussion?
I just, maybe I'll just point out that our auditors have given us a clean bill of health with regard to the audited financial statements.
Thank you. Any further comments or discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of the motion, please signify by saying aye.
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 As chairperson of the trustee.
No opposed and no abstentions. That's okay. Motion carries. Thank you.
All right. As chairperson of the Trustee Committee on Audit, Risk, and Compliance, I move that the board hereby approve a service agreement with Great Lakes Crystal Technologies consistent with the earlier public notice given at prior board meetings. The related term sheet is presented to the board for inclusion in the minutes.
Could I have a second to that motion?
Support.
Thank you. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposition? Any abstentions? Motion carries.
As chairperson of the Trustee Committee on Audit, Risk, and Compliance, I announce the university's intent to negotiate contracts with Madonna Benjamin, Daniel Morris, Michael LaVague Nino, Emotion Grazer AI, Connie Sung, and Step for Success LLC, Ryan Wynn, and Win-Win Games, Inc., Richard McCod Awire, and M.W. Apata Institute. That concludes my report.
Thank you. Trustee Brianna Scott will now present the Committee on Student Life and Culture report.
Thank you, President Stanley. The Committee on Student Life and Culture received an update on the Multicultural Center from Senior Vice President Gore, met with new Chief Diversity Officer Jabbar Bennett, and received an athletics update from Athletic Director Beekman. This concludes my report.
Thank you. We will now move to the Chairperson's report and trustee comments. Chairperson Diane Byra.
Thank you. And I want to start by extending my sympathy and condolences to the Peter Sekia family. Peter was a great Spartan and he will be missed. I'd also like to acknowledge our student athletes who spoke during the public comment period this morning in support of the swimming and diving program. While I cannot commit to you that the university's decision will be changed, please know that we have listened to you and we very much appreciate the passion you express for your sport of swimming and diving. I would like to welcome Dr. Jabbar Bennett as our inaugural Chief Diversity Officer and Vice President at the University. Jabbar will start on December 1st, and I'm very much looking forward to working with him and meeting him in person as we're in this virtual world. I would like to recognize the 10 students and one alum who have been nominated for the Marshall, Mitchell, and the General Rhodes Scholarship, and also Abida Ben, who serves as the president of ASMSU. She is now a finalist for the Global Rhodes Scholarship. And then historically, traditionally, the trustees give trustee scholarships to those students that have a 4.0 grade point average. Well, we have some from the summer that have not gotten recognition. I would like to share their names and their degree with my colleagues and with those listening this morning. So the trustee GPA award recipients for summer 2020 are Julia Crow, she's a major in animal science. Lindsay Goodrich, she's a major in mechanical engineering. Hunter Hall is a major in microbiology. Natalie Hay is a major in accounting. Tyler Lauer, he's a major in accounting. Samantha McLean, she's a major in kinesiology. Brooklyn Rue, she's a major in English. And Gabriel Wink, who's a major in mechanical engineering. So we have wonderful students at Michigan State, and I wanted to make sure that those students receive their recognition. I'd like to say congratulations to Dr. Satish Upta for being appointed by Governor Whitmer to the state of Michigan's Mobility Council. I know Satish's passion for autonomous vehicles and his engineering background will be great assets to the work the committee will be doing. I want to close by asking everyone to make a plan to vote in this upcoming election on November 3rd. Please check out MSU Votes if you have any questions or you want additional information. You can go to their website at msuvotes.msu.edu. This concludes my report.
Thank you. Vice Chair Kelly, any comments?
Yeah, thank you. Just very quickly, I too was saddened to hear the passing of Peter Secchia. To all of the supporters of the swim and dive teams, this was a difficult decision. It was something that was expressed to the board quite a while ago, actually. So I hope that they understand that it was a difficult and thought through decision. Finally, just on the eve of the election, I also hope that everybody just gets out and votes next Tuesday. Thank you.
Thank you. Trustee Ferguson, any remarks? Can we unmute Trustee Ferguson, please?
One thing that I'm not ever excited about in these meetings is having to speak behind Diane, because it doesn't leave me much to say, because she touched so many of the bases that are very important and that people need to hear. I will say this though, Peter Secchia, we both had one thing in common. We both joined the Marine Corps out of high school. And I supported Peter years later. I like to feel our body is nonpartisan to be president. And he didn't make it. But the funny thing about him, he had been a giver before he wanted to be president of Michigan State. And it's like he doubled or tripled his participation in giving in every way. So he truly is a Spartan, all the way across the board, across the state, everywhere. And he was a gift. If there's a picture in the dictionary of the name of gift that keeps giving, that'd be Peter Secchia. So he truly is going to be missed, but he does leave a legacy and he does leave a lot here behind it. And I want to say this to President Stanley and Chairman Byram. There's one reason that you don't read much about our board and this administration that much. You're not newsmakers. You just get the job done and keep moving Michigan State forward. And you really lay the foundation, both of you, for the best is yet to come for Michigan State University. So I just want to say it's an excellent meeting. Thank you all for very much today. Thank you.
Thank you. Trustee Foster?
Yes, I'd like to also express my condolences to Ambassador Sekia's family. And Peter was really a larger than life almost personality. It was a pleasure to know him. And far beyond the boundaries of Michigan State, he served our country in so many ways, not only as a Marine, as Joel pointed out, but as our United States Ambassador to Italy under the Bush administration. He was a great friend of President Gerald R. Ford, and he was a real leader in the Republican Party on a national scope. So he's going to be missed by many outside even the Spartan Nation. These are financially challenging times, and it requires difficult decisions, and as were expressed today. But we are facing a budget deficit of $147 million as a best case scenario, which just causes difficult decisions to have to be made and implemented. I'd also like to urge everyone in our community to exhibit civility and respect in our upcoming election. So thanks everyone and go green. Let's get them Saturday in Ann Arbor, right?
Thank you. Trustee Kanaki Jefferson.
Thank you. Yes, so I wanna first begin by thanking everyone who spoke today in the public comments about the swimming program and also acknowledge the many emails and letters that we've been receiving this week. I can promise you that they're being read and that we are not taking them lightly. And so thank you for making the time and conveying those concerns. It's a very hard decision. And as Chairperson Byram said, I can't promise that it's going to change, but I can promise you that we are hearing you and we are listening to all of the information you're giving us. So thank you for that. I also want to join my trustees, T-Bay and Scott, in saying that I would love to come to Flint. I so appreciate the presentation this morning, and I look forward to learning more about the great work that's being done there. I also want to welcome Jabbar Bennett as our new Vice President and Chief Diversity Officer, and just acknowledge that we as a Board of Trustees were a part of that interview process. I believe that shows our real commitment to and priority of seeing this being an important new role. And I'm very thankful to President Stanley for also making it a priority. And I am looking forward to participating in the mandatory DEI training that everyone in the university is going to be going through. I also want to thank President Stanley and also Provost Woodruff for all that they're doing to continue to persevere leading us through COVID-19. And everyone, please stay the course, stay strong, keep masking up, keep social distancing. It's going to be even harder, I think, as we go into the season to keep it up. But I'm grateful for everything that the university has been doing. And please go vote next week. Thank you.
Thank you. Trustee Masalam.
So good morning. I too want to, first of all, welcome, give my condolences to the Sekia family. Peter was a giant and a great contributor and a great Spartan. He will be sorely missed. I want to welcome and congratulate Jabbar Bennett. It's a position that's long overdue that this university needed to have, which has been one of Dr. Stanley's missions. So I'm glad to see that that's been accomplished. Abita, very proud of you. Rhodes Scholar, unbelievable. That's it's a point of pride for the university. Very, very, very proud of you. I also want to acknowledge some of the survivors and some of the emails that we got. Student Life and Culture is committee's meeting Monday to discuss how we're going to rectify the healing fund and talk about go forward steps. We got your emails. We saw what was written. So we're working on it, all of us together. I also want to, you know, I think I need to address some of the things that Nancy Hollis said as well. You're right, Nancy. I did commit to reading the documents for family reasons. I have not been able to. I have been getting my updates from Trustee Kanaki, who has been someone that I trust in regards to those documents. I have taken the public position that we, as soon as we're done with our litigation and our insurance litigation, these documents should be released. We are close. So they will, you know, that's my position. I've been very clear about my position. So I also think that your inference of some of the things that are going on, you know, are misguided. You did mention Nancy Schlichting. And if you want to talk politics and the type of person Nancy is, Nancy has endorsed my reelection. But Tuesday, you have a chance to fire me if you choose. So go ahead. But we are not going to, I'm going to stick to what I promised to do irregardless. Ted Golden, I've been calling for an independent investigation since January of 18. Probably six times I've called for it, you know, of which the last one was roadblocked at 4-4. So I echo those sentiments. And it's Masalam, if you'd like to know the enunciation of my name. And you too, Tuesday, have the chance to fire me. So swimming and diving, I want you to know that I support Bill Beekman. You know, Bill is an AD. It's not our job to undercut the athletic director. Our job is to hire the president, whose job is to hire the athletic director. You know, in a perfect world, I would like to see, you know, some type of, you know, rec fee, student fee, put together, you know, renovating our IMs, which would include the swimming and diving. And we have, like every other trustee has said, we read all the letters, we've seen everything. You know, for four or five years, we've been talking about the swimming and diving program. And we've also been talking about renovating IM East and IM West. And, you know, we will, you know, I'll continue that discussion. So no promises there, but we hear you. And as a former athlete, I know how you feel. It's got to be disappointing. So anyway, last thing is very proud of Mona Atisha and the Flint. I too want to visit Flint. Mona's a pride of point, and you're obviously the whole group. Mona's a pride of point for our community and all the work that she's done out in Flint. And I urge everybody to vote Tuesday and vote safely and go green. And good luck on Saturday. Take care.
Thank you. Trustee Scott.
Thank you. I too wanted to just extend my condolences to the Sekia family. I had the opportunity to get to know him over the course of the last year. And I know that he's led green. Truly going to miss him. We appreciate all that he has done and stood for MSU. And so I'm praying for the family. I hope things are going to be better for them. I know this is a really hard and trying time for them, but please know that his legacy will live on at MSU. We appreciate him so much. I wanted to just reach out in this format to those that have sent the numerous emails and letters concerning the swimming program. As already has been stated, we absolutely have been receiving those. We are reading those letters. We are hurt. That was made very lightly. We empathize with those that have been impacted by it. Please know that we are, you know, cognizant of how it has impacted your lives. Things weren't different for us. If the economy were different, if our budget was different, certainly we would not have had to make this decision. But we want you to know that we're here and we are doing whatever we can to support you all moving forward. I also wanted to state to Mr. Ted Golden, I agree with you that I believe Christine Morris should have been fired. I don't know why she remained at MSU. It certainly preceded my term as a trustee at MSU. But I totally and wholeheartedly agree with you that there were some things that were very concerning, concerning to it, and it's shocking to me that she remains employed. I wanted to also extend a congratulations and a welcome to Dr. Jabari Bennett. I look forward to working with you as the new Chief Diversity Officer. This is a much needed position and role on our campus, and to provide continuity as it relates to diversity, equity, and inclusion, making sure that we are uniform in how we attack this and in how we go forward and making sure that those that are not doing what they need to be are held accountable. I look forward to working with you, and hopefully we are going to see the much-needed changes in the area in our campus. I'd also like to just congratulate Abita, as others have. I am so very proud of you. It's magnificent. I'm just ecstatic for this opportunity for you, and we are going to represent as well.
I also lastly would like to just indicate that it is important for our students, our staff, our faculty, and all of our alumni to get out and vote. Elections have consequences, as we all know. We have an opportunity and statewide elections as well as nationally to really create a change, a much needed change. And I'm just asking you all to do civic duty, regardless of what way you vote, to go out and vote. And it's important that your voices are heard. That concludes my statements.
Thank you. Trustee Tebe.
Thank you. I just want to echo Trustee Kanaki Jefferson's statements about the swimming and diving team, just knowing that there's no promises that can be made, but that we're listening and that we're hearing you. You know, I'm reading all of the emails and I hear all of the suggestions for solutions. And again, we can't make any promises, but just know that you're being heard and we're listening. And we know how important it is to each and every one of you. And we appreciate you reaching out and letting us know how you feel. I just also want to say to everyone to make sure that you're being safe this weekend with Halloween and the big game. Just make sure you're social distancing and wearing your mask and washing your hands. It's so important that we continue. I know we're all very tired of having to do all of these things on a regular basis, but just continue to stay the course. It's so important. And with coming up on the winter months, I just want to make sure that we're checking in on one another. So students, faculty, staff, make sure you're giving others a call just to check in. It's so hard not being able to see everyone in person. And I'm very concerned about everyone's mental health, especially coming up on these cold months and in the spring semester and the beginning of that. So just make sure that you're checking in on people and picking up the phone, not texting or emailing, but picking up the phone and checking in on one another. Because I think that's extremely important as we, you know, we know what happened last winter, and this one we can at least prepare for and just make sure we're taking care of one another. Thanks.
Thank you. That concludes trustee comment.
Well, thank you, everyone. And now at last, is there a motion to adjourn the meeting?
So moved.
Thank you. Any second?
I'll support.
Support.
Thank you. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? This meeting is now adjourned. Thank you.